Work its original design. Audiobook by Ashish Rai Chur. Chapter 1. Working in a Perfect World. The first three chapters in the book of Genesis describe God creating and ordering things on the earth. We also see the design and creation of mankind and the commission given to us by God. Here are a few observations we can make in relation to work. We are designed to be creative. We have been created in God's image and likeness. God's intent in creating us in His own image and likeness was so that God could be reproduced, represented, and released through us here on earth. One of God's attributes is that He is creator, and hence He is creative. Therefore, we can deduce that people were designed to express this aspect of God's nature. We were designed to be creative. As Adam and Eve, and all humans, would go about being fruitful, multiplying, subduing, and having dominion on the earth, they would also express God's creative abilities through the things they accomplished on the earth. Understandably, God's intent was for people to discover His creation and do amazing things with what He had placed in His creation. We are designed to work. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend, that is, to till or cultivate and keep guard of it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God put Adam in the middle of the Garden of Eden and gave him some responsibilities. Adam was to till and cultivate the garden, which meant he had work to do. God introduced work in the Garden of Eden even before the fall of man. Work was instituted by God, and hence work is a good thing. God instituted work even before He instituted marriage. Adam was also to protect the Garden of Eden from the devil, who obviously seemed interested in trespassing what God had entrusted to human race. As long as Adam walked in submission to God, with the glory of God in him, that is the likeness and image of God, in the presence of God, Adam would be able to successfully keep the enemy out and protect what was entrusted to him. Further, we can infer that the responsibility that was given to Adam in the garden was to be extended all over the earth, through Adam's race. Eve was created to be a suitable help in the workplace. God designed Eve to be a helper comparable to him, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Eve was designed to be someone suitable for Adam, to alleviate him from being alone, and at the same time be someone who could co-labor and partner with him in his responsibilities in the garden. This would include the mandate Adam received from God to cultivate and protect the garden. Eve had a place in the garden and had a role alongside Adam to tend it and keep it. Women were designed by God to be alongside men in the mandate placed on the human race. Women have a role and a place of influence in the workplace. Working in a perfect world. What if Adam and Eve had not sinned and the human race continued intact, as per God's original plan? What would it have been like to work in the garden, and as time passed to grow and enter into all that God had intended for people, specifically in relation to work? What would the workplace be like in a perfect world if man had not fallen? Here are some observations from a biblical perspective. Worship would have continued through the workday. God's presence would have overshadowed us throughout the day. We would have been in perfect communion with God all day. Work and worship would not have been compartmentalized or segregated into distinct hours of the day. Worship and work would both be unto God. Work would not be a chore, but a heavenly assignment, a ministry unto God, because God mandated it. Everyone would be working as unto the Lord. There would be no sense of I am doing something secular or worldly now, and after I get home, I'll do something sacred like worshiping God. God would have been at work. It is interesting to see how Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 depicts what would have been a typical day in the garden. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." It paints a picture where God was accustomed to visiting with Adam and Eve as they lived in the garden, even as they went about cultivating it and guarding it. Perhaps God would visit them and teach them the secrets that lay hidden in His creation. Perhaps God would have shown them how to leverage what was available in His creation and come up with new things, new ways of doing things, and so on. With God at work, God's creative abilities would be released through people through new inventions, discoveries, and endless possibilities. Discovering and harnessing laws in God's creation would have been exciting. The prophet Isaiah paints this picture for us of God teaching the farmer how to till the land and process the harvest. Give ear and hear my voice, listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he, God, instructs him in right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance, Isaiah chapter 28, verses 23 through 29. God's wisdom is integrated into all his creation. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12 tells us that, he has made the earth by his power, he has established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. Wisdom speaks and declares, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there, when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. So as God helped people discover his creation, they would have gained insight into the wisdom of God, into the mind of God. Fruitfulness, multiplication, and increase would be the normal outcome. God had blessed man to do what he was designed to do. The blessing of God would have caused fruitfulness, multiplication, and increase. It would have been normal to see things grow, flourish, increase, and multiply. Work would be enjoyable, something of pleasure. In a perfect world, work would have been enjoyable, something of pleasure. At the end of each day, we would see with delight things that were coming together and be happy about it. There would be no sense of frustration or feeling of useless labor at the end of the day. Each day's work would have been one of meaning, purpose, and joy. Perhaps the preview that Isaiah gives us of what things would be like in the coming age gives us a glimpse of this: they shall build houses and inhabit them, they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 21 through 23. Workplace calamities, misfortunes, layoffs, and economic crisis would be unknown. Chapter 2. The workplace, the impact of the fall, and the effect of the cross. The fall made it hard. The fall had its impact on the workplace. God pronounced the outcome, "Cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The workplace was cursed. There would be sweat, labor, and toil to enjoy fruit. And this would go on throughout a person's life. There would be things that oppose, hinder, and cause pain, thorns and thistles, in the workplace. None of these were part of God's original design for the workplace. The cross reverses the fall. The Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the fall in its entirety. Everything that came upon the human race because of the fall was reversed through the Lord Jesus' redeeming work on the cross, and by his death, burial, and resurrection. This includes the effect of the fall on the workplace. The Bible teaches us that God intended, through Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. The cross redeems and reconciles all things that were affected by the fall, including the workplace. We are redeemed from the fall. We do understand that part of our redemption is a present tense reality, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, and part of our redemption is still in the future. The fullness of our redemption is still to be experienced, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. We also understand that creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God and for it to be delivered from the corruption it was subjected to because of the fall, Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. As redeemed people, we taste the powers of the age to come in this life, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5. There are redemption benefits that we can walk in here and now. For instance, we will have resurrected glorified bodies in the future, but we can experience healing from sickness and disease as part of our redemption benefits now. Similarly, while Isaiah chapter 65, verses 21 through 23 describes the workplace in the coming age, we can expect redemption benefits to impact our present work, workplace, and work life. Redeemed covenant people in a fallen world. As believers, we are redeemed people who are in covenant with God, although we live in a fallen world. So it is true that we will face the evil that is in this world. However, we are here to live as the redeemed of the Lord, as new covenant people in whose lives the power of the cross is at work. So each day as we go into our workplace, we must believe in the redeeming power of the cross to affect our work, our workplace, and our work life. Because of the cross, the curse is reversed and our workplace is blessed. Because of the cross, we declare fruitfulness and joy in the work we do. Because of the cross, we negate thorns and thistles, things that oppose, hinder, and cause pain in the workplace, and instead declare the purposes of God to be established. Because of the cross, we can recover God's original design for the workplace. God established a blood covenant with Abraham, which we refer to as the Abrahamic covenant. Subsequently, through Moses, God established the law, also known as the Old Covenant, which was also based on blood sacrifice. These covenants serve to point to the New Covenant, which was established by the Lord Jesus Christ through his own blood, shed at Calvary. The New Covenant is far superior to the Old Covenant. Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. We will look at how work, labor, creating wealth, and so on, were affected by the Abrahamic covenant and the Old Covenant. It is true that both these covenants had much more in them than just blessings for the workplace. But in this study, we are specifically focusing on work, workplace, and work life, and hence we are interested in examining how the covenants affected these areas. The fall resulted in a clear pronouncement that the ground was cursed, and man had to labor and toil to see any result. Interestingly, for those under the Abrahamic covenant or under the Old Covenant, God pronounced blessings in these very areas. And they experienced it. Given that the New Covenant is so much superior to the Old Covenant, it should be normal for us to expect the same, if not greater benefits of redemption and covenant blessings on our work life. We must also understand that when God declares a blessing, that blessing is comprehensive and affects all spheres of life. To Abraham, God said, "I will bless you and your descendants." He never did specifically state that healing was part of this blessing to Abraham and his descendants. However, when we look in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus finds a woman who was bent over with a hunched back, who had been that way for 18 years, he heals her, declaring that she had a right to be healed because she was Abraham's descendant. He said, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Luke chapter 13, verse 16. She had a right to be healed because she inherited Abraham's blessing, even though God never stated to Abraham specifically that healing would be one of those blessings. God had simply stated, "I will bless you," and that he would establish this covenant of blessing with Abraham's descendants, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 and Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. Therefore, when God declares that he will bless us, he means that he will release all who he is into our lives, so that we can experience who he is, his goodness, his kindness, his mercies, his power, his healing, his provision, and so on. As mentioned below, when looking at the Abrahamic covenant and the Old Covenant, we see that the Lord caused his covenant people to experience blessing in their workplaces. Your ground is blessed. Abraham experienced God's blessings on his life. Although Abraham seemed to be wealthy to begin with, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, God's blessing caused him to see fruitfulness and increase even more. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things, Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys, Genesis chapter 24, verse 35. Isaac, Abraham's son, experienced God's blessing in the workplace. Then Isaac sowed in that land, and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper, and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 through 13. Under the Old Covenant, God declared the following blessings for those who walked in obedience to him. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 3 through 6. The fall brought a curse on the workplace, but for those in a blood covenant with him, God pronounced a blessing on their workplace. Should we not expect this for us in the new covenant? All the work of your hands are blessed. The fall brought hardship, toil, sweat, and labor and minimal fruit from that labor in the workplace. For those in a blood covenant with him, God pronounced blessings on their work. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 and verses 12 through 13. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head, and not the tail. You shall be above only, and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Under the Old Covenant, God assured his people that if they walked in his ways and by his word, they would prosper in all the work of their hands. Hence, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper," Psalm chapter 1, verses 1-3. Should we not expect this for us in the new covenant? God gives power to get wealth. Those in the Old Covenant understood that it is God who gave them power to get wealth, as part of his covenant with them, as long as they walked in the fear of the Lord and in obedience to him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Should we not expect this for us in the new covenant? The devourer stands rebuked. Those under the old covenant were taught to honor God with the fruit of their labor. They gave a portion to the Lord from what they obtained in their workplace. Giving to the Lord, while truly an act of worship toward God, they saw to it that they enjoyed even more fruit. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. For those who obediently brought a tenth of their produce, that is, income, earnings, to the house of God, God promised, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field," says the Lord of hosts, Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. The fall caused thorns and thistles in the workplace. But God himself stood as guarantor for his covenant people who walked in obedience to him, to ensure that the fruit of their ground will not be destroyed. Should we not expect this for us in the new covenant? You will enjoy the work of your hands. God's people under the old covenant understood that as part of the blessing of the Lord, we could enjoy our work and the fruit of our work. And it will go well with us. Psalm chapter 128, verses 1 through 2. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. And also that every man should eat and drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. It is a gift of God to enjoy your work and enjoy the fruit of your work. God still gives this gift to us, his people, today. Chapter 3. Working in an imperfect world. Our objective in this study is to encourage us believers to see our workplace in the light of redemption, and hence pursue the option of rediscovering God's original design for our work, workplace, and work life. We can, of course, settle for the status quo and go through our work life, just like everyone else in the world, or we can make a determined choice to enforce Christ's redemptive work and receive our new covenant blessings in the workplace. We can expect things to be different at our workplace. As you tend your garden, will you attempt to capture what God originally intended? Will you reach out by faith to receive for your work, workplace, and work life what is yours as a redeemed, covenant child of God? Expect the power of the cross to affect your workplace and work life. We are in a fallen world. Life is not always fair. Things in the workplace will not always be easy. There will be disappointments, challenges, unfair bosses, and people doing unscrupulous things in the workplace. Markets will fluctuate, economies will rise and fall, and there will be layoffs, downsizing, and all kinds of other unexpected discomforting changes. There will be organizations making huge profits through unethical means, promoting ungodliness, and so on. There will be great wealth on one side and great poverty and lack on the other. In the midst of all this, can we as believers, in whatever role we have in the workplace, determine to operate in it as redeemed covenant people? My declaration of faith: as I go into my workplace, I receive the redeeming power of the cross to affect my work, my workplace, and my work life. Because of the cross, the curse is reversed, and my workplace is blessed. Because of the cross, I declare fruitfulness and joy in the work I do. Because of the cross, I negate thorns and thistles, things that oppose, hinder, and cause pain in the workplace, and instead declare the purposes of God to be established. Because of the cross, I recover God's original design for the workplace. Worship God through your workday. while the rest of the people around you may be consumed with the god of mammon, relentlessly pursuing wealth by any means, would you, through the course of your day, seek to worship him and experience his presence? Would you host God's presence in your place of work throughout the day? Would you determine to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, always during your workday, knowing that all other things will be given to you? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Some ways to do this would be to pray often inside you throughout the day. It is like sending short prayer tweets to God all through the day. Talk to him about what you are doing, the call you are about to make, the meeting you are about to go into, the design you need to work on, the sales targets you need to meet, the lecture you need to deliver, whatever. Thank him for every little blessing you see, every good thing that happens, for those you work with, and so on. Be conscious of him all day long. Whenever you can, keep a song in you. Speak or sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. Walk in the peace and in the love of God all day. Walking in peace and walking in love is walking in him, in his presence. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Do worship and work as unto God. Do not see your work as a chore, a necessary evil, a burden you must bear, or some other secular or ungodly thing. God designed work and it is a good thing. As long as you are doing what God wants you to do, you are on his assignment. You are doing his will. Your work and your worship are done as unto God. When you worship, you do so with all your heart. So also, when you work, do it with all your heart as unto God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23-24. It is true that there may be some tasks you detest. You may be given some assignments that seem to be taking you nowhere. You may be delegated to some dead-end roads, and you know that it is highly unlikely that you can achieve what was asked of you. You may have ungrateful bosses who never appreciate what you do. Your best efforts may go unnoticed. We will all face such situations in the workplace. But in the midst of such things, can you lock into God and do whatever you are assigned to do with a cheerful, thankful heart, as unto God? And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 from the Message Bible. God is with you at work. When you go to your place of work, you are not going in there alone. God is going there with you. You are there as his servant. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. God is there with you to empower you by his Holy Spirit, to teach you things, to reveal things to you, to impart wisdom, understanding, skill, revelation, insight, and so on, at your workplace. He is there to help you do the design, to solve problems, to resolve conflicts between people, to develop strategy for the road ahead, and so on. So, at your workplace, will you tune into him, seek his wisdom, and ask for his creative abilities to be released through you? Will you see yourself partnering with God and co-laboring with him to carry out whatever you are assigned to do in your place of work? Whether you are a farmer, or a schoolteacher, a businessman, or a salesperson, or in whatever you are doing, God wants to co-labor with you. Expect fruitfulness, multiplication, and increase as a normal outcome. Because you are in covenant with God, and God has declared you blessed, expect fruitfulness, multiplication, and increase. We have covered much of what needs to be said on this in the previous chapter. Your ground, that is the workplace, is blessed. All the work of your hands is blessed. God gives you power to get wealth. The devourer stands rebuked and cannot destroy the fruit of your labor. This does not mean you will never face failure or setbacks or disappointments. These things will happen. However, you can have the faith and courage to rise up in spite of these things, because you know that you are in a covenant with God, and God is still on your side. Regardless of the situation, you are still full of faith and courage, and you continue to expect God to lead you into fruitfulness, multiplication, and increase. He will. In the worst of times, He has promised to take care of you. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Psalm chapter 33, verses 18 to 19. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Psalm chapter 37, verses 18 to 19. Your work is to be enjoyable, something of pleasure. God designed work to be something that we will enjoy doing. Ask God to position you in the workplace where you can maximize what He designed you to do. This is where you will thrive and enjoy doing what you are doing. Keep growing in what you are doing. Do not be afraid to make changes and transition into new things that He seeks to unfold. Carry His joy in your heart to the workplace. Enjoy what you are doing. Celebrate His goodness at your workplace. When you find dissatisfaction, restlessness, and so on with your work, take time to talk to God about this. Sometimes we may just need an attitude adjustment, a change in our hearts toward our work. It is possible that sometimes, the dissatisfaction could be an indicator that a change is necessary. Seek God's direction and move with Him. Stay in a place of joy. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.